Is that good enough for the out?
Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Hello, everyone. We had a week off. We're back. The Brad and Body Podcast. Round 10 is in the bank for the NBL, and round 5 is in the bank for the WNBL. Botond, we're back, my boy.
Geez, that sound, you said that so well, I'm tempted to respond in Hungarian. look, it's things are starting to take shape now. I'm a little disappointed with Cairns on the NBL front. I think they're sort of starting to get back to the sort of lineup they want. So they needed to get that result over Sydney. Yeah,
they blew it against the Kings. They could have had it.
Yep, and the WNBL, interesting. It's an interesting round coming up because we've seen Perth flex their muscles a bit, but Perth have got a couple of tough games this time around, and I'm actually they're going to be without Alex Cibatoni, who's getting married on Saturday.
One of your favourites, I know that. You've had a lot to do with Alex.
But she'll be missing those two games. And they're
big loss. Well, let's talk about it. So obviously Perth did the number on Townsville, man. That was unbelievable. I was watching, thinking, is this Townsville? They beat them by 26.
You know, I'm thinking, are they going to miss a shot?
Well, then Townsville get a game-winning shot that has to beat Adelaide.
Yeah.
Well, that was unbelievable. Flames, which I don't think it was a shock, but I was surprised at the score. 90-55 beat Geelong.
Bendigo, can I say, I think that would have been the first time this season that Geelong got stage struck. You know, you're playing against some big name players. You're in Sydney. I reckon they might have just had a little bit of a turtle head.
It surprised me still, but I agree with you. Bendigo keep being Bendigo, and they beat the Caps, and obviously Perth backing up, beating Southside. So at the moment, obviously Bendigo 7-0, Perth 6-1, and then there's a little log jam there for the rest. So talk to me, buddy. What did you like?
Well, for my player of the round, I like Courtney Woods because I'm very biased towards anyone that scores a winning basket, and she did do that to knock out Adelaide, a win they needed after going down so dramatically in Perth. If you can get a split on the Doomsday,
she did have 25-8-5.
Yeah.
It's not just the game winner is what I'm saying. But there's a lot more.
Well, once you get a game winner, if you've also had a pretty decent game, which obviously she did, then you've got it for me, for mine. That gets you the performance of the week. Mm-hmm. Have you got anyone in the player of the round?
I hope I'm saying that correctly. I thought Mila was great for Perth. She had 20-5 in both games, but it was 5 rebounds in one and 5 assists in the other. So it was slightly different. But 20 points in both games, I thought in a back-to-back game, winning at home, beating Townsville, mind you, then going to Southside and beating them on the road, I thought she was tremendous in both games. So she got my player of the round, but... I mean, look, Sammy Whitcomb's the one who's MVP for me by far. She still had good numbers, but it was nice to see people winning, playing good basketball, and obviously some exciting news coming out of the NBL this week, the WNBL, I should say. I'm excited to see where the WNBL go now, being that they've obviously put someone in charge, the CEO, which is Jenny Sager. Will now be the CEO. My understanding is starts in January, but won't take physically over the league until the season's over. So is that April, I think we're talking? Not the season, but, taking over from BA. Yep. Look, I think it's exactly, in my opinion, you'd be much better, to answer this. But for me, I think it's fantastic. Anything that gives the sport the grace that it needs, anything can get more money injection and pay these players more. They thoroughly deserve it. They are elite athletes and good for them.
You know, honestly, if you look at the fact that we had a World Cup in Australia not a couple of years ago, and the girls, the Opals, finished bronze. And then you go, well, what headway did we make in the mainstream sporting world compared to Matildas?
Simple. Nothing.
You know, so, nothing so you is sort the of answer. Go, okay, well, if someone else is going to run the WNBL, unless they're crackpots, which they're not.
No, they're not.
Then you know it's going to be better. It's just going to be better.
So, there's
excitement.
Obviously, Robin Denholm, who is the owner of the Sydney Kings, or majority owner, I should say, she has started her group, which is the Wollemi Capital Group Syndicate, which they are saying. And obviously with the NBL, with Larry, you're not going to get two better people. So I am excited. As a commentator, I'm like, geez, we might, hopefully there's some stuff to get involved with, you know, like this is, I think it's just going to be, I remember those days and I keep saying it, going to watch the Flames play when there's Michelle Tim, Shelley Gorman, Annie LaFleur, you know, Trish Fallon, these players. And then, you know, Rachel Sporn's coming in and, you know, Robert Maher was playing, like all of these things. And you're just like, oh man, this is awesome. And I hope, and deservedly so, it gets back to that.
I'm in complete agreement with you on that. I know that really you were following WNBL then because of body suits, so don't bullshit our audience, Brad.
I didn't even notice they were wearing them body suits.
All right. I believe you, but I'm sure a lot of listeners don't. But
well, look, and they're right to not believe me, buddy.
Yeah. It's okay. What I'm going to say, though, this is going to be an unpopular view that I'm about to take now, but I don't think the WNBL this season, with all due respect, is that good? I really don't. Because if you look at who's missing and you take out your obvious opals like Beck Allen and Sarah Blitzarves, who are key players.
Can I just say what a great job she's doing in the commentary too. Love her, but moving on. Yep. Sorry, keep going.
Moving on, then you've got, you know, Steph Reed and Zatina Kuso. A lot of players.
Well, you can add Lauren Nicholson to that. You can add Charlie Heal into that. Like there's a lot of
good
absolute talent that are not there. For various reasons.
But I think where I'm leading this, even though that might sound negative, I don't mean it to the competition, still fun to watch. Mm. But where it's going, I think you'll get a lot of these people back and a lot of people wanting to be involved in the competition. That's where the step up will happen next season. But let's talk about the next round.
If you say that in the next round, yes. But if you talk about that the way you say that, I agree. Because look at the NBL. If you look at the NBL, a few years ago, the talent wasn't like it is now. These American imports want to come down here. Our Australian contingent's always been pretty good, but we're not losing Australian contingent over to Japan's like we were. Sometimes we do, but it's great. Anyway, give me your nominations here and your winners. Caps at home versus the Flyers. I'm going Southside.
Southside, yeah, we both are.
Perth at home versus Bendigo. Big game.
Bendigo.
And if I'm not mistaken, it's at home. It's at Bendit Basketball Stadium. Bendigo, I'm with you. Southside at home against Adelaide. Oh,
That Bendigo Perth game also brings Sammy Whitcomb back into Perth. Now, I know she played for Townsville last season, but her connection to Perth is very deep. But Perth down Chibitoni, I think you go Bendigo. Southside Adelaide, I think that's relatively. I mean, I'd like to see Adelaide win a close game because their ability to go absolutely awful the longer the game goes is extraordinary. We weren't here last week because you were still busy recovering from your birthday party. The reality is that they led Townsville in Townsville 40-20 at halftime, and then scored 2 points and 5 points. What the hell is that? I'm thinking, Natalie Hirst, you are lucky to have a job. You're lucky the fact that the ownership is handing the license back because you'd be gone.
Yeah. No, and that'll be interesting to see what happens there for all teams in that matter when you say it like that. But yeah, Southside to win that for me. Flames at home versus Perth. You'd have to say the Flames God, this sounds like me at home. What do you say? I said that. Anyway, but you're going to the Flames, let me guess.
I am going to go to Sydney. But only because, as I said at the beginning, Alex Chibitoni won't be there, and she's an important component because they use a fair few of their players. They're not sort of stuck with their five, but their main five are their best five. And her absence,
the big one. Can Geelong get Adelaide at home? The answer is no, in my account. But for you?
Well, they've already played there once, and Geelong did get them, and they were 10 down at three-quarter time. Yeah. So I think if Adelaide has learnt anything from that, and it should have because it's lost a lot of games in that last second half, they've been terrible. They're a first-half team. I think if Geelong can hang around and be within touch of them at three-quarter time, I think that the fear of losing overwhelms the desire to win. You know what I mean? You start to get and you start to play a little bit scared. I think I'm going to take a punt on Geelong.
Mate, can you stop it? You're actually sounding like someone that's experienced and should be doing a pod. Well done, mate. That sounded very, very good.
I'm thinking
good.
About taking one up with someone who knows what they're doing.
Well, you're not going to find someone in Australia. All right, let's move on. And that's the WNBL wrap. Moving on to the NBL. It was a great round of NBL, of course. The FIBA break had finished. I'm setting it up by saying before the FIBA break, Chris Golding comes out and has 46 points with 9 threes. He goes to the FIBA break. I'm still cannot believe he made 19 threes. But forget that. He missed 11 body. He went 19 of 30. Yeah. That is unbelievable. Then he's come back and he plays Sydney on the weekend. He was great. I saw something on the screen the other day where he's like got 73, 63s, whatever, and the next one's daylight. And that's not including the 19 he hit in two games. So, but look, some fantastic games. James Bateman finishing with 51 points. I was there in Brisbane, watched him torch Perth. 2 weeks later, they come to Perth. And Mr. Bryce Cotton, 59.
Yeah, that wasn't 59. Mate, that wasn't against Brisbane. That wasn't against Brisbane.
No, I know, but it was that Brisbane was the next game. But it doesn't matter. All I'm saying is here is that the 59 came, like, that's three massive scores within literally 2 weeks. Forget the FIBA break. Like, unbelievable.
Okay. Can I say something here?
Well, you got
I think Chris Golding had been the victim of his own whining and flopping, and there was a lot of publicity coming his way that was really, really negative. And you know what? I think he took stock and decided, you know what? I better show people who I really am. And who he really is this guy that we're seeing now. This guy that doesn't flop, that doesn't whine, that just gets out there and kicks ass.
Like it.
And
I
love watching that. Okay? Now, fast forward to Bryce Cotton. Best player in our competition has been ever since he's been here and continues to be by far the number one. And anybody else, including Derek Rucker, that rates people ahead of Bryce Cotton, I'm sorry, you don't know what you're talking about. That's a nonsense. And they still have Xavier Cooks at two. Boy, oh boy. Derek don't know what he's doing. But anyway, let's move on from
I'm going to argue with you in there and say this year I believe PJC is playing better than Bryce right now. I do believe Bryce has gone ahead of Xavier Cooks, though.
I'm saying there's one player who's the best player in our competition.
Yeah,
so
you can't
rate him at 17 because he's been out injured with torn ribs or, you know, torn off stuff off the ribs. You can't. So what I'm saying is Bryce is sitting at home, and I think he's watching this happen. He's going, you know what, I might just have to remind everybody who the best player in the comp is.
You know what's so good about that, buddy? He can,
yes.
And that's what, and you know, you and I sit here and we're preaching to ourselves here. But when you say is to everyone, it's like, I remember many years ago, people are like, man, don't wish Michael Jordan to retire. Cause when he's gone, he's gone.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Bryce Cotton is one of those guys. We said the same about Andrew Gaze. I was a lot younger when there's a Leroy Loggins playing, but coming in there and it was always like, I played against Leroy. That was one of the greatest achievements. I played against Crawford, these guys, Bradkeys. And I was like, oh my God. But you know, Andrew Gaze was like unbelievable. And to watch him play was just outstanding, Bryce Cotton, this week.
I would say the NBL's holy trinity is Andrew Gaze, Leroy Loggins, Bryce Cotton. That's
your 1, 2, 3?
Not necessarily in that order.
Okay.
Those are the three that are the holy trinity. They're the best. And then there's a break. And you can drop down. You can say, oh, Chris Williams.
Well, let me throw you this then. Who's the greatest import? You just named two.
Oh, still Leroy. Leroy just did more. Bryce is an absolute scoring machine, but Leroy did whatever you needed to win the game.
Yeah.
And that's why from 1982, 83, 84, 85, 86, 87, the championship went through Leroy.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, well, now let's start. We had to just talk about Bryce there because of what happened.
Magnificent.
But I'm going to go through my top six and then we'll go through yours, right?
Yes,
my top six at the moment, Melbourne at one by far, Illawarra at two. Right now, and I'm just going to cut it there, that is the two grand final teams, and if they don't play, no one's beating Melbourne. I think the only team that can beat Melbourne is Illawarra in a five-game series. I don't think they will, but everyone else is playing for seconds at the moment. That's my point. Now, three, I've moved Sydney up. They were down at four last week or the week before. I've moved Perth into the top six for the first time. They're at number four. Southeast at five. They're humming. They're playing D. And number six, I'm leaving Adelaide there because if you take 40 points out of any team, I'm letting them stay. I believe they'll be in the six at the end of the year. What have you got?
I have nothing against that logic. I think it's very smart logic. However, this is you said you got Perth in for the first time this year. So have I. For the first time this year, I've moved Perth.
I can say I did have them in earlier in the year in round four. Never did, but no, I had them earlier. I know that. Yep.
I've dropped two teams out that I've had all year.
Right.
Okay, so mine is Melbourne and Illawarra. Then there at the moment there's daylight, but there's some of these other teams have got the potential. I've got Sydney at three. Yep. I've actually got the Phoenix at four.
Okay.
I think the Phoenix's best is actually better than what we think.
Yeah.
I've got Tasmania at five because they've got maybe the best coach in the league. Certainly they've got that. And then the six is where I've squeezed Perth in. Mm. Now, and this is based on all performances. Like New Zealand, the reason I've dropped them out, okay, I'll tell you straight up, Tucko four, that's going to be a Tucko fail. That's not going to work. Okay. 7'6" guys in our league. Well, not that we've had any before, but you look at the big guys that we've had in our league, very few of them have been really successful. I can't help but think, correct me if you know better, Brad, but I can't help but think somebody in New Zealand Breakers management said, hey, wow, we've got this 7'6" NBA player. We've got to have him. We've got to have him. And he's just been put in the Breakers program.
So I don't know is the answer, but I'm going to tell you what my logic on this is. Okay. I'm saying, and I watched New Zealand play in Sydney in the preseason game and Freddie Gillespie headbutted Sean Bruce in that game and got suspended. Yeah. I watched him play and he was underdone. And I thought to myself there, I was like, oh, I don't know if that's going to be enough, right? That's my honest opinion. Then I watched him at the Blitz and a little bit better. And I thought, oh, I don't know. Then they went to America after two games. I reckon the decision was made back then. Obviously because Tucko joined them over there. So my feeling was they're worried about him then and going to be like, wow, I don't know if we can see the season out. Tucko's come up. Yep, we're going to get rid of Freddie and we're going to have him. Then Freddie starts playing like he is. It's too bloody late. Now they've agreed to what they're going to do here. Freddie's done his bit, obviously, and gone, well, I can go and I'm getting out of here. And they've probably gone, holy crap, what we do. I interviewed Tucko Fall on Thursday night. I was down there. The biggest human being I've ever seen alive. Lovely guy, right?
Yeah.
Shook my hand, size 22 feet. I couldn't hear what he was saying because I'm so short, right? And you couldn't hear anything he was saying. But a lovely guy. I felt offensively they can do some things with him. In defense, he was in the drops mode, as we know. And for our listeners, drops mode is when a screen is set, he's not up on the screen. He drops back under the basket. So a Bryce Cotton comes off the screen, he can shoot a free throw every single time and knock it down. So that to me doesn't work in the NBL. Right. You're right. You cannot ask him to come up and double on the screen or do anything like that. It's not going to work. So you're going to have to play zone. So if they can work that thing out or whether they, rotate and everything, but you can always rotate. But if you've got one big 7'6" guy, I don't know how it's going to work, mate.
Here's your other problem. At 7'6", there's a lot more of a human being to get hurt.
Well, here it is.
There you go. And so I can't see them getting huge production out of him. So I think what they've done is they've taken a U-turn a little bit, and that's why I've got them out of – I like them. I've had them in the six all season. I've got them out of the six.
Well, they're out of my six too. I agree with you. I had them – I rate them still. I've got seven Tassie, New Zealand eight. That's what I've got.
I've got New Zealand seven. I've got Adelaide eight because Dejan Vasiljevic, he's pulled a hamstring. He's going to be out 2 to 3 weeks.
But don't you think if they get Montrez back, I know he's got two more games to go, and then they get Kendrick back, you don't think they're going to scrape some wins? I can't see them missing out on a six though, buddy.
They got Brisbane this week. I can see the Bullets beating them. And then they've got Perth, and I can see the Wildcats beating them.
Right. I can see the Wildcats.
Two more in the hole.
But let me throw you something on here. DJ, that was one of the worst games I've seen him play. And I'm sure he would say the same thing, right? He shot 22 shots, had 16 points. He was 5 of 22, and it was 1 of 12 from the three-point line. That's the game that they needed him to either have 16 points at 60% or 50% or have 40.
Yeah.
Right? So with him being out, It's guys like Isaac who only shot 12 shots might get more now. Yeah, yeah. Sunday Dick, maybe a bit more. Jason Kadee, you know, you get the Nick Marshall will take more. Jarrell Martin, Latman, well, I like him and I know you do too.
I do too. Yeah, I think so, he's been, when he came to the program, I think there was a different coach involved. So, I hear what you're saying, that mm-hmm. maybe with Vasily Vichard, it's additional.
You know that next man up mentality.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, and I hate using that term because it always is midnight at the end of the day, the reality of it is that enough talent?
Yeah.
Is that enough talent to beat Brisbane? Is that enough talent to beat Perth? Because certainly the attitude, the desire, the effort will be there. And Mike Wills will be happy to make some subs. He was subbing like a crazy man.
Let's throw out Lat Mayen as well. But can we Keanu Rasmussen? I think I'm saying that right.
Yeah, Rasmussen.
What a great minutes. Nearly 23 minutes. Hadn't played really NBL before. Had 9 points, led the team in assists with 4 assists. Like, well done to you, mate. Yes. Well done to you.
Yep. Very, very composed for a young fellow. I liked it.
I want to hear your player of the round. Let's see. Let's go to that first.
Okay. Well, look, it's obvious who the player of the round is. Okay. Man's just set a record and second highest score of all time in a 40-minute game. Mm-hmm. So it's very obvious. But mine, just for this point of discussing it, Owen Foxwell. What he did for the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix to come back and beat Illawarra from the position they were in, to leave Derek Walton, a championship-winning import, anchored to the bench because he was playing so well, I think you've got to take your hat off to him.
Yeah, well done. Yeah, I like that. I mean, obviously I do have Bryce, right, as the player of the round, 59, and you need that. What was your best moment?
Look, there was a lot of them. There were a lot of them, and I do like it when someone unexpectedly flings the ball pretty much the length of the floor, 70 feet. Tyler Robertson, the accountant, comes through again, ka-ching, catch that one, that three-pointer, and they go in leading after one quarter, Sydney Kings against Melbourne United, where they had no right to be in front. So
that was good, and it was in the thing. Okay, I had a couple. I'm gonna the Bairstow dunk, by the way, in Perth. I thought was brilliant.
Yes,
Dave O'Hickey's dunk down the middle against Tasmania on the Thursday night. But I cannot.
What about Lockie Albrecht's?
That was nice too. Behind the back, that was good. So there was some real moments. But the greatest moment is the best non-block I've ever seen in my life. Yeah. The foul, the block. He goes up. Simon Dwight is the greatest shot blocker I've ever seen. That title has now been taken from Magne. He is phenomenal. That block that he did the other day and brought the ball down left-handed. Did you see he put a tweet out this week showing a photo of it and said, clear foul?
Yeah. Well, fair enough too, because it was a beautiful block. It reminded me of the block he did last time they played Adelaide. He got Montrezl Harrell like that.
Yeah.
It was a beauty. And the officials in that game. Yeah, but the officials in that game were smart enough to know that's a block. Whereas here's like, let's get involved. You know, let's get the officials have just got to stop thinking they're part of the entertainment and just control the game. You're not part of the entertainment. Don't insert yourself where it's not necessary, because that's one of the best blocks you'll ever hope to see, and it goes down as foul. It won't even be under consideration. Quick one. I liked Anthony Drimmick's throwdown dunks in that Tasmania Adelaide game. Now that we're talking about that.
Can we just get to, did we talk about giving a shout out to Perth and let Bryce get 60? Have we said about that? Like, how did he not get 60 in that game?
Because he's got selfish teammates. I'm sorry, he's got selfish. In the same way that I thought Matthew Dellavedova really let Chris Goulding down against Sydney. Goulding was hitting everything. He's been in rare form. And I thought Delly, for the player he is, to not be able to get the ball to Chris Goulding in good shooting positions on a consistent basis was a very, very poor performance.
Well, it's been
the same with Perth.
Delly's assists have been really up the last few weeks on the back of Chris Goulding shooting well, obviously. Yeah. He still had 9 assists on the weekend, but he went 0-6 from the field. And some of those shots he took, I agree with you. So I think it's a good point.
And then let's go to 60. Because the record is 63 in a 40-minute game.
He could have got
Reg Biddings.
He could have got
that easily. Yeah. But you got – I love Ben Henshaw, the future he's got. But Ben, stop jacking up shit. Give the ball to Bryce.
Yeah,
get him over the. Be part of that. Be able to say, I played
here,
in that
man.
Game.
No arguments here. Give me a nudge nasty, or have we already said it?
Well, Well, yeah, I've written down the selfish play of teammates when someone's hot, but I'm going to cross that out and say, ask you, what is the modern era, Brad? Did you play in the modern era or did you play in the prehistoric era?
I read your article this week at BOTINAGY. Can I shout out to Cal Bruton where you said he got his scoring wrong or something? He said he had 53 and on the article it shows 51 and you said he must have been looking at the page of the book because it was page 53. I thought that was quite clever of Bot. But hey, I wish I could have got 51 and said, oh, sorry, I thought it was 53. Well done to Cal.
Yeah.
But not good okay, point. So that's it. The modern era, I get
look,
it.
Look, it's 40-minute games. He didn't play 40-minute games in prehistoric era and 40-minute games. Your 40-minute game is a 40-minute game. If you want to differentiate, there's a 48.
I love when you get your cranky pants.
Oh, talk about cranky. Give us a rattler then, Rosen.
My rattler goes to the NBL, and I love the fact that they're doing this away game in January gets the fun, the shootout, they call it, right? And I love, so just so we all know for teams, what it means is, for listeners, what it means is every team has nominated an away game. You can't nominate the same team, I think, twice or three times or something like that. And if you get the highest amount of points, win or loss is irrelevant. If you get the highest amount of points, you win. And some fan can go in to win it as well. There's a lot of talk about these, I want to play Cairns. I want to play Brisbane. I don't want to play New Zealand, all these things. Man, I'm telling you, if I'm Cairns, Fordy's going to have Illawarra, I think it is, are coming in there at the end of January. He's going to be like, mate, do you guys want to know this? This is going to be, I like what they're doing because they're bringing different formalities. It's like the NBA with the mid-season cup or anything, whatever they call it, or the tournament. I like it. That's my shout out. I thought it was great.
Okay. You're not asking me for an opinion on that, are you? Because I hate it. So let's move on. Let's pick this week's winners because we're nearly out of time.
Absolutely. Well, let's start. It starts with a doubleheader on Thursday night, which I think is going to be some great games. Give me your winner. Between New Zealand and Melbourne. Sorry, I was just waiting for that. Yes.
Well, Chris Gording is going to be out for 2 weeks. He's injured. Mm-hmm. So I think Ian Clark steps up. He's still got Flynn Cameron shooting the ball beautifully. Mm. Tanaka, I'm going with Melbourne because I've lost my belief in New Zealand. I'm sorry. What about you?
I can't back New Zealand when I see what they did on the weekend and I don't see them going to be any better. Tasmania win at home against Cairns. Do you agree?
Yes.
I'm going for Adelaide to still beat Brisbane on the back of I think they'll do that, but I know you're going to say Brisbane.
I think Brisbane will win that game because they win some games, Brisbane. They're going to win that one. They'd be Perth not that long ago over there. So
No one's more excited than me about the Perth Illawarra game because I'm going over to call it after Bryce had 59. Look, Illawarra.
No one's more excited than Nikki, your wife, because she knows it's the one-way ticket.
I can't wait. Yeah, exactly. And no one's unexcited as Lockie Reed and Damian Martin because I'll be sitting next to them. The poor buggers. I'm going to say Perth win at home on the back of that game. And I just think Illawarra, I don't know, they just struggle in Perth, but they're good enough to win. That's for sure.
They struggled in Perth for, historically. Yeah. And not just through the modern era. Even in the prehistoric
boom,
era.
Boom, boom. New Zealand at home against the Kings.
No, I'm going for Illawarra. I'm going for Illawarra.
Okay. All right. Okay. Good. Who you got New Zealand at home against the Kings?
I'm leaning towards Sydney. I'm still not convinced by Sydney, but I'm leaning towards them.
What about that 8-second back violation, man?
Oh, my God. What are you doing? What's going on? What are you chatting about? Just get over the freaking
Southeast
centre line.
At home against Cairns. You can't go against Southeast.
I'm going Southeast Melbourne.
Yeah. But Melbourne at home against Brisbane. Melbourne.
Melbourne.
Yeah. Adelaide at home against Perth. I got to go Perth. You can't. Yeah. No, not on that.
That's it.
But again, we want to see what happens before those games. Everyone, thank you so much, listeners. Can I shout out to the Illawarra Hawks? I was down there for that game. I was up in the pre-game and they had all the ex-players up there. It was a fantastic heritage round. They do a fabulous job. I got to see my man, Chuck Armisen. Butch Hayes was there. Ben and Tim Morrissey was there. Glenn Saville, Matt Campbell works for the team. They had all the old boys.
Oscar,
it was absolutely
fantastic.
Oscar Foreman was there as well. Timmy Conrad. They had so many guys down there. It was absolutely brilliant. Well done to them. And I know all the other clubs are doing the same. So congratulations for the Heritage Round. Boddy, until next week, my friend. We'll see you then.
See ya.
Mate, this might shock you, but when I was in Illawarra, they stood up and they've got, and we've got ex-Sydney Kings captain here, and they all booed. That probably shocks you.
Oh, yeah. though, because, you know, earlier during the program you said we really need to appreciate Bryce while he's on the court, and I think we really need to appreciate you, Brad, while we've got you.